Now Moses was 10th priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that through the bush, so Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn. He had gone over to look. God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses, do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. Of the Egyptians, and bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, and the home of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites. The high cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now, go and bring the Israelites out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, and bring the Israelites out of Egypt. And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the statute. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. The Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they asked me, what is his name? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. Sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, from generation to generation. Go, assemble the elders of Israel, and say, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob appeared to me and said, I have watched over you, and I have promised to bring you up out of your misery in Egypt, into the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, and the Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey.
A bit pretentious as I start my sermon by saying that my text, how about that? But you'll probably know it, probably have come across it, it's often quoted. Some achieve greatness and some have greatness thrust upon them. This today with reference to a modern icon, in my view. Andrew, if you don't know who he is, Freddie, as he is popularly known, is an England cricketing legend. His ability, which was honed so that he bowled fast and effectively and batted with equal talent at the age of 20 and went on to score nearly 4,000 runs and take 226 with Wikipedia. He was man of the series in the Ashes of 2005 in what were some of the most exciting 4 years. And we won. England won. Kit pitch are enough for him alone to be hailed as an England great, even though injury forced at the age of 31. But it may not be professional cricketer that define Andrew Flintoff, the man. If you follow the story, he has pursued a successful career in the media, and it's not least on BBC's Top Gear. Then in December 22, he was out of the limelight for quite some time, the accidents that he had really, and when seen in public once again quite some time later, had clearly suffered in the accident. But it's the accident and his response to it that made. Before the accidents, he filmed a series called Freddie Flintoff's Field of Dreams of Preston and brought together a group of disaffected young people with the AIM team and empowering them to be the people that they could be. As I have done now, but I started watching the second series, which was starting screening. He began filming the second series with the same group, in which he told them that India. Then came the accident. The project, But Freddie was determined to keep his commitment to that group of disparate and often to complete the filming with Field of Dreams on tour. And it is a program that is profoundly moving in the Edworthy household. And as we saw, Freddie cajoling and encouraging the group, getting alongside, are worth it, and spurring them on to do more than anything they can have imagined. So if you haven't, watch it and filter out some, even to tears. It is inspiration. Those lads since as well, they have gone on to do things that they never imagined that they were given permission to have dreams, really, and to go on to greater things. So Artov was born great with this talent. He achieved greatness through what he did on the cricket pitch, chances that he would not have wanted. It seems to me he has, perhaps, had great, and he has embraced that pretty well, in my view. Well, what about Moses? And his life was very nearly over before it started. Exodus chapter 1 tells the story in Egypt. And the king of Egypt, Pharaoh, became concerned that the population of Israel was out. He instructed that every Hebrew boy that was born should be thrown into. Maybe you spot some similarity here to King Herod's command for Bethlehem after Jesus. Chapter 2 tells us of how Moses was born and placed into a basket in the Nile in a story beloved of some, with the hope that he might live by being put in that basket. This baby attracts the attention of Pharaoh's daughter, and the infant Moses ends up being taken into the home of the of many and grows up there. And yet, he was hardly born. And Moses also did not achieve greatness. As Moses grew up, he was nursed. Well, she was able to kind of come into the palace, perhaps unknown by Pharaoh's daughter. And he grew up. A life of privilege, I guess, but he didn't achieve. Identified once again with his people who were slaves. Not cover himself in glory when he saw an Egyptian slave master through people and went out and murdered that slave master, burying the man. But having been found out, he fled Egypt for the last 3 years of age, and that's where he remained for the next 40 years, living as a simple shepherd. At the age of 80, in the middle of nowhere, going nowhere, Moses has greatness through it. He really doesn't want it, but he gets it anyway. So if you are sitting here, one, two others perhaps, be afraid, just a little bit afraid with you yet. And if you are sitting here at any age at all, wondering what God wants with your life, perhaps yet to be revealed, and be ready. This is how it happens for Moses. He has settled down with a wife and family, a foreigner in a foreign land. And he is tending the sheep of his grazing for them in the wilderness. And he sees a bush, a flame. That's not unusual in the tinder dry conditions of the Sinai desert. But this, and that is unusual, that is strange. And so Moses goes closer, he wanders over. Of looking, God speaks from within the bush and calls Moses. He's told to take off his sandals on this holy ground. He learns that the very God of whom he will have learned from his mother, quietly sharing with him in the court, hides his face in fear, quaking in his bare feet. And God speaks. He has heard the cries of his people in Egypt. He has seen the oppression bring them to a much better place. And Moses is the person that he is sending to make. God always hears the cries of the suffering. God always sees them. God always wants to rescue. Here, it is. But here and now, today, could it be us to do his will? Might God be calling you to. And so it is with Moses. But Moses, as you will know, he is chronically insecure as Moses. And I want to kind of dwell. I think there are excuses that you and I tend to make as well in the same situation. Effectively, he says, I'm too weak. Who am I, the Israelites, out of Egypt, he says. And who indeed, we might answer. He's 2 years ago, he covered up his crime, but when he is found out, he ran away. He has been a... Who am I, he says. But I will be with you. I will be with you. When God has called you to do something, who am I, you might have said, is not who you are, but who God is and who you are in. Know that like Paul, speaking in Philippians chapter 4, 13, Christ, who is your strength. So Moses is too weak. Ignorant. What shall I tell them, he says in verse 13 of chapter 3. Now, moments of his youth in which he knew everything or thought he did. I expect all of us were there at one time or another. Perhaps has weighed Moses down over all these years. He doubts that he has anything at all to say. God says, well, tell them about me. The God of Abraham, of Isaac, the God whose name is I Am. Your excuse that you don't know enough, you're too ignorant. Perhaps someone has challenged, might be calling you to teach others about him. And maybe like Moses, you said, but, well, let me tell you something. You never will. But the God who calls is enough. The name that God gives for himself to Moses, I Am, is not just God's name. It is also, it is who he is. It is what he is. Exists, always will do. The God of yesterday, the God. This God does not necessarily call those who are all those whom he calls. And again, we find that we'll experience that in our lives if we are willing to trust him. Too ignorant. The third one is this. As the story progresses, he says to God in chapter 4 in verse 1, even though God tells Moses that those who wanted to kill him are dead, and why wouldn't they? After all, where's he been all these years? He ran away. He gives Moses two signs that may convince them. He gets Moses to throw down his convincing is this snake so real that Moses runs away in fear. And it turns back to that staff of God. He also tells Moses to put his hand out again, and Moses brings it out again, and it is white with leprosy, with skin disease. It is restored when Moses puts it back inside his cloak. Would you be convinced by that? Well, you might be. I mean, not everyone is as the story moves on, but self being convinced. Being convinced that he will go as the Lord commands. But perhaps you feel that your words about your faith will be too unconvincing if you were to actually manage to get them out. In your family, yes, of course, and don't think that your words will make any difference. Your words won't make any difference. But your words make all the difference. Don't worry about being convincing, but be convinced death and resurrection on the cross in Jesus for you. And let the Holy Spirit do his stuff. 3. Moses is too unconvincing. Again, in chapter 4, verse 10 this time. Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past. I am slow of speech and of tongue. This time, who has made his mouth? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will, says God. And I think it's too easy for us to look at other people of the gospel and probably of everything else as well. Compared to them, we don't think that we have anything in which to say it. Now, if you watch Freddie's Field of Dreams, lads who are not particularly learned, who are very earthy with their language much of the time, Freddie gives the team captaincy for the match that they're about to play to the most hyperactive. And he is like, what, me? You want me to be captain? You see him rise to the challenge. And some in ways that I'm sure I could not do with that particular group of lads, aren't we? The ways in which you share your faith will reach the people that my words would not. Faith would probably reach people in ways which your words and actions would not. To share, we can know that the Holy Spirit will help us to speak and teach us what Jesus tells us that in the New Testament. He says, when you speak, he will teach you what to say. So Moses says he is two-tongued, excuses so far, and you'd think that, you know, God has knocked each one of them down, really, hasn't he? You would have thought this would be enough for Moses. Moses thinks that he is too ordinary for the job. Pardon your one else. I wonder how often we have done that. We're told excuse, but he stays his anger. He holds off. And he sent Moses. Moses will put words in Aaron's mouth, and Aaron will speak and will teach you what to do, says the Lord. Grace will often bring others alongside us as encouragers or mentors so that we can be better us to do. And so Aaron is brought alongside Moses, and then later Moses mentors Joshua. Moving to the New Testament, Barnabas is brought alongside the newly converted Paul and nurtures him in the faith. Luke and others as they grow in faith and to God. Disciple Apollos. If God is calling you, but you feel, ask for help. That's not a sign of weakness. Ask for help. Maybe from me as your minister, maybe from wise friends among you. And we will do the best we can to get alongside of you. Also known as the comforter and counselor is one who comes alongside of us in every we are not alone. So we come to the end. He's too weak. He's too tongue-tied and just simply too ordinary. In effect, Moses' response to God, therefore, I won't. He needs to learn success, but God does command obedience. Go into the world and make disciples, he says to us. Is that something, I wonder, for you to learn? Is God calling you to fearing that you will fail? Do you know what? At least as much as he loves people who succeed. Success, and nor does he condemn failure. Rather, he seeks obedience. Well, eventually, Moses realizes all this, and he is obedient to God. God says, this will be a sign that is I who have sent you when you have brought the people out of this mountain. To find out, Moses will have to go in faith back to Egypt, first of all. He will have to journey once again to Mount Horeb, also known as Mount Sinai, faithful to his word. And we too will calling to find our Mount Horeb. And as we do that, he is completely faithful to his word. He is sufficient for all of our needs. And all. So perhaps this morning is the time for you to step out, commit to something you know that God is calling you to do. You may not have been born great, greatness, but with God at your side, you may. Amen. Let's just pray for around the Lord's table. Itself a sign of our commitment, our recommitment. Lord, as we pray in obedience to you, help us to hear the things that you may have been laying upon our hearts over a period of time, or that's in the notes. Lord, may we be ready for your. Show us, Lord, what you would have us do, and may we be knowing that you will be with us, you will never leave us, and you will equip us with everything that we need. Lord, maybe for someone here it is to children or young people in our church. Maybe for someone here it is someone at work that's already on your heart. Maybe it's to go to family, your nearest and dearest, once again, and to gently. Maybe it is a call to something completely different, completely beyond. Could be a call to work in a church ministry or in a charity or in something completely different to what you're doing now. Help each of us to think about the front line to which you are calling us, where you would ask us to be. To go, and your spirit within us.